Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Still doing good. All right, good. Well, it's very good, as you know, to be in the house of the Lord. I'm very excited about this opportunity to be able to preach to you guys this morning the word of the Lord. As you guys heard in the announcements that Pastor Daniel and Naomi are in Pennsylvania visiting family and doing that for a little bit. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers, and they'll be back sometime next week. So it's all going to be good, and we're going to continue in the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers and supplications. We're going to continue in these things that are being given to us, aren't we? That's what we commit to. Every single time that we come together and we meet, we're saying, I am committing to what the Lord has given to us as a body, to me individually, as a member of that body, and as a body, as a whole, a collective whole. We are committing to what God has given to us and saying we will keep in remembrance and will be faithful to what God has given to us. That is a really good mindset to have, isn't it? I tell you, it really does make a difference how you approach the things of God and what mind you approach them in. Because if you got the mind of Christ, like the apostles said, they said, we've got the mind of Christ. And boy, I tell you what, every time they begin to open their mouth or even pen the word of God, you could hear the anointing, the power, the mind that worked in these men as they were their telling of their experiences that they had with the Lord. They were some pretty powerful experiences. Would you agree with that? How about their discernment, the judgment that they had, the ability to direct and guide and lead a church? Boy, they're gifts from God. We have great gifts from God. The word of the Lord coming to us, even in the form of a Bible that God gave us to read, to be able to put us in a mind of a spiritual place with God is a gift from God. That we have a word that we can read, we can fellowship, and then it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Living witnesses, a living fellowship, which we have right here in this place. So lots of good things going on, lots of Word of God, a lot of things to be committed to. Commit yourself to the work of God, and that's how you're going to be established. So I do want to maybe get into a few thoughts here this morning. We'll open up with some scripture. We'll read. Katie, go ahead and get over to the book of Galatians, and we're going to start there. We're going to read two things. One in Galatians, the first chapter, and then we're going to go to the third chapter. And we were going to get to a couple of other things, but we're going to start with this here. And Katie, go to verse 6, okay? In chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. We there? Okay. Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, we've heard this preaching before many times, right? This thought that Paul has to deal with the Galatian church because there was another gospel, which is not a gospel, that was being preached to remove them from what they had received. But you know what? There's always so much to learn. And God's always revisiting things, and he's always keeping things in our remembrance. So let's look at this again. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or another an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you than that you ever preach, that we preached unto you, let him be accursed. What I want to focus on right here in this very opening portion of scripture is, notice he said that there, he said, go back to verse 7. Actually, go back to verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. What have we been called into? The grace of Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the word of God that came by the apostle to preach to us the grace of Christ. We have been put into the grace of Christ by the truth, by the anointing, by the word that we have heard, which has come by the word of faith. The word of faith is what's been preached to us. And the next verse, again, to reiterate, in verse 7, he said, "But there be some that trouble you." There are some that trouble you that would come and try to pervert this word of grace that you've heard by faith. Now, who in here has ever had someone come up to you and start troubling you, trying to get you to believe that, well, this is not, living fellowship is not true. They're not preaching the word of God. It's a cult and on. Is that what we're talking about here? Like those kinds of men, that those kinds of people here on the earth that are coming by trying to convince you that maybe you should go outside of the word of faith and you should start trying to believe another gospel. Are these the troublers that are troubling you? Or where do those troublers really work? In your thought, in your heart. So what is he talking about here? Could we say that there are thoughts that can come in that will try to trouble you and try to pervert a gospel that's come to you? I mean, if it weren't true, you wouldn't have Apostle Paul dealing with this in his church. But it was true. It was happening. He said, there are those that are troubling you. They're coming in and they're trying to preach to you another. They are preaching to you another gospel. Don't believe them. Let them be accursed. Don't believe what they're saying to you. So other thoughts that are coming in and trying to persuade you and trying to pervert. Pastor Brian brought a really good interpretation to the word perversion or pervert. What did he say it was? Anyone remember?
Change.
They're trying to change a true word of God, a truth. A perversion is to change the truth into a lie. And that's what these troubles will try to come and do in your thought. They'll come in as a small little thought. And they will begin to try to talk and try to speak. But when they do come in, do we open that door up? Let them in? Fellowship with them? Or do we close that door? Do we recognize them? I believe that we have enough of Word of God working in us, that the foundations of God have been laid in our heart great enough that we can discern a thought that is other than the gospel that we have been preached and that we have received. Do you believe that? Do you have enough Word of God in you, Marvin, when another thought comes in and begins to preach to you and to tell you that you can perfect what God started by the Spirit, you can do it by the flesh? Well, we may not always catch those thoughts right. But can we begin to start catching some of them? Or do we just say, I can't catch anything. I can't catch anything that's coming in. I'm just going to let every single thought that comes into my mind, I'm just going to go ahead and believe it. I'll mull on it, think on it. I'll sow to it. I'll let it conceive in me, and we'll just see what happens. Well, you want to know what's going to happen is you're going to have to start seeing some manifestations and saying, whoa, I don't think I took the right thought there. I don't think that thought that came into me conceived a right thing here, because my manifestation is believing another gospel. It's causing me to depart from the word of the Lord that has been preached to me. I'm saying I believe that we as a body and as a church that we have heard and received, and we're having foundations that are being built inside of our mind and our heart that would be a defense to the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood and he wants to come in like a flood into your thoughts, is the word of the Lord rising up in you and bringing a defense? Is it protecting the word of the Lord that has been preached and sowed to you because you are the children of God? What else was Paul doing here with his church? Was he not protecting what God had given to him and standing up for the word of the Lord in them and protecting and defending what God has said and what God's done? We got the word of the Lord. We've got foundations that are being sown to us. We've got the apostolic church and ministry that's been coming. And building in us, foundations. These are foundations that are being built in us. that we can walk and live in the Spirit of God as sons of God. Okay, let's go to Galatians, the third chapter, and we'll start in verse 1. We're gonna finish this thought that he was dealing with, and we're actually probably going to answer some things, not in the book of Galatians, but in the book of Hebrews. We're actually going to look at some of this here and find out what was working and the thought that was trying to that was bewitching them, that was seducing them. All right, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Next verse. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh? And let's see if there's what verse 4 says. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if be yet in vain? But let's just stop with verse 3 then. What was he telling the Galatian church? What was it that was seducing them? The flesh, the law. Those things come together, and you would say that the thought that they could perfect what God had started by the flesh. Wow, think about that. Think about what the Spirit of the Lord did to bring forth the church in the apostle by preaching to them faith, preaching to them the Spirit, preaching to them that you are not under the law, but you are under the Spirit of grace, you're under the Spirit of reconciliation, you're under the Spirit of adoption, you're under the Spirit of promise. These things are spirits. There's a lot of things that work in the Spirit. Like I just said, a Spirit of adoption, Spirit of promise. There's these spirits that you are born of. But something is creeping in and it's convincing you and bewitching you and seducing you to believe now that you can perfect the thing which God started in you by the works of the flesh. Isn't that interesting? Is this something that we have to be on guard for? Is this something that we have to, is this not why there's diligent meetings and gatherings and preachings and fellowship for us to come together? Because, Christy, if we're not diligent with these things, could another thought from another spirit of Antichrist creep in and convince you subtly, very subtly, to begin to try to perfect yourself by a work of the flesh? Boy, I tell you what, that's why the apostles, the prophets, they stayed on guard. They were watchers, they were seers, and they could not let this happen. They were going to defend what God gave them and protect what God gave them, because they knew that there were troubling thoughts that would try to creep in and seduce them away from God. And it's the same way, the same, unless this just happened back then, it can't happen now. Or is this the same thing? Is this the story of God? Did God put us in the story? Did God put us in the place to experience these things? I say he did. I say he wants us to know and to discern these things that have come, that want to take us away so that we can grow up and be strong in him. If we're talking about, and I have to say that, I had a really good conversation back in the back room with Pastor Gary there, talking about some of these things about protecting and defending the Word of God, because the one who does that is a strong man. A strong man. We're not talking about someone weak and defenseless that's just trying to defend himself from getting beat up. You may start out that way when you're getting beat up and pummeled and evil spirits and evil thoughts and wicked things are just overcoming you. You can't help yourself, can you? What do you need? You need a mediator. You need a mediator. You need a Christ. You need someone to come and deliver you. You need someone to help you. I can tell you, I've been in that place. When I could not help myself, I could not pray my way to a better thought to save my life. I needed help. I needed help from someone that was older in the faith, stronger in the faith, that was a son and born and a brother. I needed a brother in the Lord. I needed someone that could come to me and preach to me a word of faith that was going to strengthen me where I was at and give me a defense to the enemies that were coming in. And as time goes along and you get nourished and you're brought up and you sit under tutors and governors and precepts and principal doctrines, these sow into your mind and to your thoughts. And as they do, they begin to create the strong man within you. So that when one day that those troubling thoughts come to you and they begin to talk to you and speak to you, Amanda, guess who rises up? The strong man, the Son of God, begins to rise up. And it begins to speak back and say, not today. Because you know what? It is written. It is written in the Spirit, written in heaven. Devil, you're overcome. You know why you're overcome? Because I'm the overcomer. I'm the overcomer. And I'm overcoming you. I'm overcoming you by the word of the Lord. And you know, in the Old Testament, God used such a great analogy to show like the Jew and the Gentile and the law and all these things. But Apostle Paul, he was sent to the Gentile. And he had a revelation and an understanding on how to bring the gospel to the Gentile. And he was able to take the thought of the Jew and show that they were the thought of Christ being preached to them was a stumbling block. It was a stumbling block. So he preached to them that, you know what, there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. It's all going to be by faith. It's all by grace. It's all by the word of the Lord. He foresaw by the scriptures that he was going to bring in the Gentile. So this thought of trying to go forth and to perfect the flesh is really an enemy thought. And it's very, very subtle. To perfect the flesh, because you know what that's doing is you're saying that when you don't have a consciousness of heavenly things in your mind, you think earthly. And when you think earthly, you think fleshly. When you think fleshly, your way of defending what you think you're defending is by to take flesh and work flesh. And you try to work flesh because that's the consciousness. Isn't that the consciousness of flesh is when you try to take and you try to perfect what God has given us by the word of faith and by spirit, and you try to do it in a consciousness that I will overcome this, I will do this, I will work this, and you begin to go to work in your mind, and you begin to toil and tarry and labor and work in these things. Well, that sounds like you're getting worn out. That sounds like those thoughts will wear you out. Or can we believe the word of the Lord that's come to us by faith? Not knowing that we don't have all perfect understanding on it yet, but we will believe the word of God that's come to us by faith that we are the overcomer. We are sons of God. We are in this body, members. And whatever capacity that God has spoken to us to put us into any part, any work, that we're diligent in it. Would we agree with that? That I'll be diligent to protect what God's given us. And we don't have to work this by trying to perfect the flesh. We don't have to do that. Let's look at a couple more scriptures here, okay? Let's go to Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews. Let's see here. Chapter 2, verse 9. 2 and 9. And it says, you were there? It says, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bring in many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So when we want to look at who is the perfect one, we look at Jesus. We look at the one who, the Word of God says that he was made perfect by the things that he suffered. By the things that he suffered, he was made perfect. And he is now the chief captain of our salvation. So when you, I do want to get to this thought, and I do want to stay in the thought here too, of the thought of trying to perfect the flesh. Trying to perfect the flesh through the flesh. Trying to go another way. We have to see Jesus as the perfect one. We weren't given the task to perfect the flesh. In fact, what did he say? What did Jesus do to demonstrate what must happen to the flesh? Dave, he crucified it, didn't he? He crucified it. And you know, something that caught my attention in the scriptures, I think Matthew chapter 12 this week, is when Jesus was talking about that now is judgment come to the world, and now is the prince of this world cast out. He then went on to talk about his crucifixion. And I was thinking, my goodness, man, not that Satan ever worked and had power or authority over him, but Christ did the ultimate overcoming when he put that body to death, where there could be no more working of that enemy that worked through the flesh. And I love looking at Jesus, because in his consciousness, even though he had entered in that body of death, his consciousness and his mind was always from heaven. So how did the flesh have any bearing on him at all? Did it overcome him? Did it dictate his ministry? What made him work the work of God like he did? It was his, what he saw and his heard of his Father. He was working a different mind from heaven, and that was the predominant thing that ruled him in his thoughts, in his mind, was the Spirit of God that was working within him. So it's not that the flesh is the thing that had all power. It didn't. It didn't have all power. But Paul was addressing that there was a thought in his church that was trying to convince them to go and work and perfect yourself by the flesh. How does that ever work out, guys? How does that work out? We're not going to do that, are we? It's not going to happen. Katie, let's turn over real quick to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. 5 and 8. We're just going through some things because it explains this perfection, how we're going to be made perfect. And in the conference, who here remembers that the word Lord came forth and said that we are in a place where God is perfecting the church? God's perfecting the church. Are we trying to perfect the flesh? Or are we letting the work of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors, the gifts of God, which is given to the body for the edifying and for the perfection of the body? The gifts of God given to the body for the perfecting of it. These are the gifts of God, not the works of the flesh by the letter of the law. The law that worked in the Jew was by the letter of the law. And you could say, well, that was back then, and you know, we're not walking by a Jew and a Gentile anymore, but can we look at the similitude and the allegory and begin to see that these were things that were showing that the works of law mindset could still work in a person's mind? Is that a way to apply the Word of God and say that if I take and I try to work by a law of my own thoughts and my own mind and even work the Scriptures to try to put something together, I can now perfect my flesh? Well, I tell you what, if you ever start going down that road, you know what I found happens? When I start going down that road, Gary, the minute I let up on that thought, well, wait a minute, I haven't done enough. Well, I was reading my Bible, an hour a day, and I've skipped a day. Uh-oh, I'm starting to feel a little condemned. My consciousness is starting to condemn me. I'll make up for it. That consciousness and that mindset will never, ever, ever have you doing enough for God. You will never, ever do enough to please God in that mindset. When that subtle thought comes into you to try to cause you to perfect the flesh by your own works, by a work in the mindset of law, it's so subtle. It's so subtle. But that's why this message of grace and faith is preached so fervently around here. Because it's not being preached to the outward man. It's being preached to the inward man. That faith is being preached to the man of God in you that can hear it and believe it and receive it even when you don't understand it all. The word of the Lord's preaching to the man in you of God that can't hear. And if it can't hear yet, just let the word of God keep being sown, because it will wake him up. That word of God will wake up the Son of God and open his ears. Is this what's happening? How many is hearing things that you've never heard before? How many is perceiving things that you never perceived before in the Word of God? We got some hands going up. God is so faithful, isn't he? He's so faithful. Did we read that? Oh yeah, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And he being made perfect. He is the perfect one that was made perfect. And you know what's so cool about that is when we look at Jesus, what can we say when we look at Jesus? That's just him? Or can we say that is the finished me? I'm looking and seeing the finished me. But he was the firstborn among many sons. The firstborn. The first one to overcome death. The first one to raise from the dead. The first one to overcome all enemies and do it in the earth. And then ascend back to God and go back into the Lord and be one with them. The first one. But can we look at it and say, this is where God has taken us? This is what God is going to do for us. He is taking us into a place of perfection. And I know it's like, ooh, that's a scary thought. Perfect. Perfect. Be perfect as I am perfect. I can't do that. Because, if God knows my thoughts and there's too many things working in me. Okay, let's understand this. He's not asking you to perfect the flesh. He's going to crucify it. You're going to crucify it in him. And you know who he's perfecting? The Son, the Word of God. How did Jesus do it? Through much sufferings, through much tribulation is how you enter the kingdom of God, right? No tribulations, no sufferings. And if everything's always going well, I don't know. I don't know if maybe you just came to God. Maybe you just came to the Lord, and it's your first week being introduced to God. I would say that's awesome. Love God, enjoy it, be filled with joy, and we'll encourage you. But who's been here a little longer than a week or two? John, we've been here for a while, man. We know that the road was not paved with roses. Tribulation, persecution, Jesus himself, He said that he suffered. He learned how to obey and submit. He learned through God. Are we learning as sons of God? So there's no need to try to perfect the flesh. What there is a need for is to learn how to walk by faith, where that faith of God is the one that rises up in you, and that faith is so strong in you that it protects the word of the Lord. It protects it, defends it, holds it as the truth. Because ultimately, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with truth and lies. The gospel came to us in truth, and then another gospel that is not a gospel is trying to convince us of lies. What will get defended? The word of the Lord? The truth? By faith that's been preached to you. We'll defend it. We'll hold fast. Hold fast to that which is good. We're holding fast. All right. Hebrews 9 and 9. We now see Jesus as the only one that we see as being made perfect. He became perfect. It says, which was a figure for the time, then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as to pertaining to the consciousness. Now, we're dealing with like the priests in the old, right, where they had to offer sacrifices and bulls and all that stuff and the offering of blood and for the sacrifice. It said, pertaining to the consciousness, it could not make you perfect. Verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances opposed on them until the time of Reformation. Next verse. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. A more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, not made of hands. He has become the more perfect tabernacle because it's not the ones you made with your own hands. It's not your works. It's something that God made, something that God built, something that God is working with, the work of His Spirit. This is a building of God. This is a building that's being built by the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of Christ in us, building and working. You know, even Apostle Paul, he had this understanding. He said, it's not I that works or labors, but it's the grace of God in me that does. He knew that it was the grace and the Spirit of grace that worked in him that caused him to be so fervent in God. Not because he by the flesh was just trying to work it up. You know? I mean, how many times have we been through conferences, remember? Like conferences in the past where people would stand up and testify, I'm done with this. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to serve, you know, there was a lot of promises made. And you know what? I was one of them. Because you get so stirred up in the moment, you get so excited about the word, what you're hearing, and you're trying to confess what you think you can do. And I remember, I've said this before, but I remember Rick, it's really caught my attention. When I probably picked him up over at your house, Annie. We, you know, going off to coffee, right? And Rick was asking me some things and got me so stirred up. I went to tell him, oh, Rick, I will this. And he stopped me. Nope, hold on. He didn't let me make an oath at that time that I couldn't keep. He wouldn't let me do it. I tried it again. I guess I didn't understand what he was taking place in that moment. And when I tried it again, he stopped me again. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's protecting me here. He's watching over me. I'm young in this. And he knows that he's not going to let me make a commitment that I'd fall to, because if I fall to it, then guess what happens? I condemn myself. He knew that I needed to grow up and understand some things. And the same thing would happen when we would get stirred up and our flesh is all stirred up in the moment and excited, we start making promises to God that we can't quite keep yet. And then when you fall, the devil preys on that and he begins to convince you, see, look at you. You couldn't live up to God. You couldn't do it. And he'll try to convince you to work harder to perfect the thing that you couldn't keep in the first place. It's a cycle that you will cycle in when you keep trying to perfect the thing that God has not asked you to perfect. He says, I am the perfect one. I'm going to perfect the Word of God in you. I'm going to raise up the Word of God in you, and I will perfect that. I'm going to do that because I have gifts for you. I have the words from apostles and prophets, and we went through them. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to perfect, and I'm going to finish what I started in you. I'm going to do it by my Spirit. The things that have been prophesied to you, the things that look so far away from you, don't worry, trust God. They are true in God. And you don't have to try to run after it and perfect it and get it and work it and do it. Let the Spirit of God lead us into these things. Let the Word of God work these in us. Because like we've talked and preached so many times, that lust is, that can rise up in us to try to take what's been given in prophecy and go work it right now. We have to be patient in these things. We have to be patient, but just because we're being patient doesn't mean that we don't continue. We don't pursue. We don't defend and protect the Word of God that He's given us. It just doesn't mean that we go and try to perfect the Word of God by the flesh. Because that's the thing that slips in and tries and works to seduce the people of God. I think I'm just going to read one last thing here, Katie, okay? Let me see here where this is at. Psalms 138 and 8. Let me know when it's up there, okay? David said, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever, forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The Lord perfects that which concerneth me. The Lord is perfecting the body. The Lord is perfecting the church. The Lord is doing it by His work and His Spirit. And you look at the works of God and you see, my gosh, every time that I've tried to work this by the flesh, I'm starting to see now, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. What are we required to do? Believe the Word of God. Believe the Word of God that's being preached. Even in Romans, Paul was preaching about Abraham, and he said, "What can we say as pertaining to our father Abraham after the flesh? What can we say that pertaining to the flesh, he could boast that he found this righteousness in God, but not after the flesh? He couldn't boast after the flesh." There is no boasting after the flesh. There is no glory of man that's going to stand before God and make its boast that it has perfected itself, that I have done some great thing to come into this place where I am now at a place where I can stand before God. No. We come before God naked. We come before God and we let the righteousness of God clothe us and robe us with His righteousness. And He's the one that brings us into His glory. The glory of man is as a fading flower and as grass that withers. It can't stand before God. And all flesh is as grass. All flesh is as grass. What's grass going to do? It just, you get a little bit of sun out there, no water, immediately, gone. It's not going to stand. It's not going to last. What is going to last, guys? The word of the Lord is going to last. The word of the Lord is going to stand. What are we going to put our confidence in? The word of the Lord, aren't we? The word of the Lord. And here's the thing that's so awesome about this. The preaching that goes forth from this place does not tell you and teach you how to depart from the works of the flesh. The teaching that comes forth from this place is how to walk by faith. And in that preaching and in that teaching, it shows you how to depart from the things that work by the flesh, does it not? That's repentance, isn't it? That is repentance that's working. So we are going to be encouraged. We're going to walk by faith. We're going to defend the Word of God that He's given and protect the Word of God and know that this thing that God started in this place in our heart was after the inward man, after the spirit. And it's not going to be perfected after the flesh, is it? Amen. Amen. If you guys believe that, raise your hand. Amen. Pastor Gary, do you have anything you want to say here?
I'll say something real quick.
All right, my friend.
Glad you came to church. Tim, I like that. Back to Hebrews 5 real quick, Katie. Verse 9. The thought I really, really enjoy here, guys, because I know there's been a lot of teaching, right? A lot of preaching as of late, a lot of word. I've noticed in a lot of conversations that there's a lot of thought. Well, what I need to do, how do I get there, how do I fix this, you know, now we've got these thoughts of, well, oh my God, there's iniquity in me, so what, how do I get all that out? Let me just refresh your memory here with everything that Tim talked about this morning, and being made perfect, this is Jesus we're talking about. What do we talk about in the feast days? Did he accomplish it all? Is he the beginning and the ending? Who's your source? Who's your example? Is he the one that did this, or do you have to do this? Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Wait a minute. Is he writing your salvation? Is he writing your story of overcoming? What do you got to do then? Stay in his story. Stay in him. You don't need to go chase nothing. Stop it. Who's saying that? Be obedient, Ann said. There you go. As he was obedient, he suffered. Because he was obedient, and God the Father heard his prayer. Could you imagine getting God's attention? Did I finish that? Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. There's your obedience, Ann. So, John, you and I were talking in the office. John and In the second epistle of John writes to his elect lady and to his children, says, I love to see you walking in truth. He said, but just know this, there's many deceivers and antichrists that have went into the world. He said, but here's what I want to caution you about. Stay in the truth. The perfecting of the saints is staying in the doctrine. How do we stay safe? We partake of the gathering. We stay close. We stay together. Don't be running out here trying to figure this out on your own. Y'all hear me? I just wanted to add that, bro, because Jesus is the author of our salvation. So he is writing the story right now. He's writing your victory. He's writing your overcoming because he's already attained to those things. That's awesome, isn't it? Don't worry about some of this stuff that's working in your flesh right now. Don't worry about some of these devils that tend to talk to some of you sometimes. What I want you to focus on is the words of Christ, the teaching. That's how John said we do it. John said, abide in the doctrine, abide in the teachings of Christ. We're going to do well. We won't lose our reward if we abide in the teachings of Christ. So if we're abiding in the teachings of Christ, what's God going to do for us, Tim? Perfect answer. That's what I was looking for. He's going to perfect us. How many believes that? Amen? Thanks, Tim. Appreciate all that this morning. God bless you guys.